Scene 3. A wood near Athens. Enter a fairy at one door, and Puck at another. How now, spirit? Whither wander you?
Over hill, over dale, thorough bush, thorough briar, over park, over pale, thorough flood, thorough fire, I do wander everywhere, swifter than the moon's sphere, and I serve the fairy queen, to do her orbs upon the green. The cowslips tall her pensioners be, and their gold coats spots you see, those be rubies, fairy favors, and those freckles live their savors. I must go seek some dew drops here, and hang a pearl in every cowslip's hair. Farewell, thou lob of spirits, I'll be gone. Our queen and all her elves come here anon.
The king doth keep his revels here tonight. Take heed that queen come not within his sight. For Oberon is passing fell and wrath, because that she, as her attendant, hath a lovely boy, stolen from an Indian king. She never had so sweet a changeling. And jealous Oberon would have the child knight of his train, to trace the forests wild. But she perforce withholds the loved boy, crowns him with flowers, and makes him all her joy. And now they never meet in grove or green, by fountain clear, or spangled starlight sheen, but they do square, that all their elves for fair creep into acorn cups, and hide them there.
Either I mistake your shape and making quite, or else you are that shrewd and knavish sprite, Cald Robin Goodfellow. Are not you he that frights the maidens of the villagery, skim milk, and sometimes labor in the quern, and bootless make the breathless housewife churn, and sometime make the drink to bear no barm, mislaid night wanderers, laughing at their harm? Those that hobgoblin call you, and sweet Puck, you do their work, and they shall have good luck. Are not you he?
Thou spakest aright. I am that merry wanderer of the night. I jest to Oberon, and make him smile, when I a fat and bane-fed horse beguile, neighing in likeness of a filly foal, and sometime lurk I in a gossip's bowl, in very likeness of a roasted crab, and, when she drinks, against her lips I bob, and on her withered dewlap pour the ale. The wisest aunt, telling the saddest tale, sometime for 3-foot stool mistaketh me. Then slip I from her bum, down topples she, and Taylor cries, and falls into a cough. And then the whole choir hold their hips and laugh, and waxen in their mirth, and knees, and swear a merrier hour was never wasted there. But room, fairy, here comes Oberon.
And here my mistress. Would that he were gone.
Enter Oberon at one door, with his train, and Titania, at another, with hers.
Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania.
What, jealous Oberon? Fairies, skip hence, I have forsworn his bed and company.
Tarry, rash wanton, am not I thy lord?
Then I must be thy lady, but I know when thou hast stolen away from fairy land, and in the shape of corn sat all day, playing on pipes of corn, and versing love to amorous Phyllida. Why art thou here, come from the farthest steep of India, but that, forsooth, the bouncing Amazon, your buskind mistress and your warrior love? To Theseus must be wedded, and you come to give their bed joy and prosperity.
How canst thou thus, for shame, Titania, glance at my credit with Hippolyta, knowing I know thy love to Theseus? Didst not thou lay him through the glimmering night from Perigenia, whom he ravished, and make him with fair Egil break his faith, with Ariadne and Antiope?
These are the forgeries of Jealousy. And never, since the middle summer's spring, met we on hill, in dale, forest, or maid, by paved fountain, or by rushy brook, or on the beached margin of the say, to dance our ringlets to the whistling wind. But with thy brawls thou hast disturbed our sport. Therefore the winds, piping to us in vain, as in revenge, have sucked up from the say contagious fox, which, falling in the land, hath every pelting river made so proud that they have overborne their continents. The ox hath therefore stretched his yoke in vain, the ploughman lost his sweight, and the green corn hath rotted ere his youth and day bared. The fold stands empty in the drowned field, and crows are fatted with the murrian flock, the 9 men's morrices filled up with mud, and the quaint mazes in the wanton green, for lack of trade, are undistinguishable. The human mortals want their winter here. No night is now with hymn or carol blessed. Therefore the moon, the governess of floods, pale in her anger, washes all the air that rheumatic disases do abound. And thorough this distemperature we see the Saison's altar. Hoary hated frosts fall in the fresh lap of the crimson rose, and on old Iam's chin and icy crown an odorous chaplet of sweet summer buds is, as in mockery, set. The spring, the summer, the child in autumn, angry winter, change their wonted liveries, and the mazed world, by their increase, now knows not which is which. And the same progeny of evils comes from our debate, from our dissension. We are their parents and original.
Do you amend it, then? It lies in you. Why should Titania cross her Oberon? I do but beg a little changeling boy to be my henchman.
Set your head at rest. The fairy land buys not the child of me. His mother was a votress of my order. And, in the spiced Indian air, by night, full often hath she gossiped by my side, and sat with me on Neptune's yellow sands, marking the embarked traders on the flood, when we have logged to see the sails conceive, and grow big-bellied with the wanton wind, which she, with pretty and with swimming gait following, her womb then rich with my young squire, would imitate, and sail upon the land, to fetch me trifles, and return again, as from a voyage, rich with merchandise. But she, being mortal, of that boy did die, and for her sake do I rear up her boy, and for her sake I will not part with him.
How long within this wood intend you stay?
Perchance till after Theseus's wedding day. If you will patiently dance in our round, and see our moonlight revels, go with us. If not, shun me, and I will spare your haunts.
Give me that boy and I will go with thee.
Not for thy fairy kingdom. Fairies, away. We shall chide downright, if I longer stay.
Exit Titania with her train.
Well, go thy way. Thou shalt not from this grove till I torment thee for this injury. My gentle Puck, come hither. Thou rememberest since once I sat upon a promontory, and heard a mermaid, on a dulphin's back, uttering such dulcet and harmonious breath, that the roots a grew civil utter song, and certain stars shot madly from their spheres, to hear the same maid's music.
I remember.
That very time I saw, but thou couldst not, flying between the cold moon and the earth, Cupid, all armed. A certain name he took at a fair vestal, throned by the west, and loosed his love shaft smartly from his bow, as it should pierce a 100,000 hairs. But I might see young Cupid's fiery shaft quenched in the chaste beams of the watery moon, and the imperial votaress passed on, in maiden meditation, fancy free. Yet marked I where the bolt of Cupid fell. It fell upon a little western flower, before milk white, now purple with love's wound, and maidens call it love and idleness. Fetch me that flower, the herb I showed thee once. The juice of it on sleeping eyelids laid will make her man or woman madly dote upon the next live creature that it sees. Fetch me this herb, and be thou here again ere the leviathan can swim a leg.
I'll put a girdle round about the earth in 40 minutes.
Exit Puck.
Having once this juice, I'll watch Titania when she is asleep, and drop the liquor of it in her eyes. The next thing then she waking looks upon, be it on lion, bear, or wolf, or bull, on meddling monkey, or on busy ape, she shall pursue it with the soul of love. And ere I take this charm from off her sight, as I can take it with another herb, I'll make her render up her page to me. But who comes here? I am invisible, and I will overhear their conference.
Enter Demetrius, Helena following him.
I love thee not, therefore pursue me not. Where is Lysander and fair Hermia? The one I'll slay, the other slayeth me. Thou toldst me, they were stolen into this wood, and here am I, and wood within this wood, because I cannot meet with Hermia. Hence, get thee gone, and follow me no more.
You draw me, you hard-hearted adamant, but yet you draw not iron, for my heart is true as steel.
Lave your power to draw, and I shall have no power to follow you. Do I entice you? Do I speak you fair? Or, rather, do I not in plainest truth tell you I do not, nor I cannot love you?
And even for that do I love you the more. I am your spaniel, and, Demetrius, the more you bait me, I will fawn on you. Use me but as your spaniel, spurn me, strike me, neglect me, lose me. Only give me leave, unworthy as I am, to follow you. What worser place can I beg in your love? And yet a place of high respect with me, than to be used as you use your dog?
Tempt not too much the hatred of my spirit, for I am sick when I do look on thee.
And I am sick when I look not on you.
You do impeach your modesty too much, to leave the city, and commit yourself into the hands of one that loves you not, to trust the opportunity of night, and the ill counsel of a desert place, with the rich worth of your virginity.
Your virtue is my privilege for that. It is not night, when I do see your face, therefore I think I am not in the night, nor doth this wood lack worlds of company, for you, in my respect, are all the world. Then how can it be said I am alone when all the world is here to look on me?
I'll run from thee, and hide me in the brakes, and leave thee to the mercy of wild beasts.
The wildest hath not such a herd as you. Run when you will, the story shall be changed. Apollo flies, and Daphne holds the chase. The dove pursues the griffin. The mild hind makes speed to catch the tiger, bootless speed, when cowardice pursues and valor flies.
I will not stay thy questions, let me go. Or, if thou follow me, do not believe but I shall do thee mischief in the wood.
Ay, in the temple, in the town, the field, you do me mischief. Fie, Demetrius. Your wrongs do set a scandal on my sex. We cannot fight for love as men may do. We should be wooed, and were not made to woo. I'll follow thee, and make a haven of hell, to die upon the hand I love so well.
Leaving the stage, Demetrius and Helena. Fare thee well, nymph. Ere he do leave this grove, thou shalt fly him, and he shall seek thy love.
Re-enter Puck.
Hast thou the flower there? Welcome, wanderer.
Ay, there it is.
I pray thee give it me. I know a bank whereon the wild thyme blows, where ox lips and the nodding violet grows, quite over canopied with luscious woodbine, with sweet musk roses, and with a glanton. There sleeps Titania some time of the night, lulled in these flowers with dances and delight, and there the snake throws her enameled skin, weed wide enough to wrap a fairy in. And with the juice of this, I'll strake her eyes, and make her full of hateful fantasies. Take thou some of it, and seek through this grove. A sweet Athenian lady is in love with a disdainful youth. Anoint his eyes, but do it when the next thing he espies may be the lady. Thou shalt know the man by the Athenian garments he hath on. Effect it with some care, that he may prove more fond on her than she upon her love. And look thou meet me ere the first cock crow.
Fear not, my lord, your servant shall do so.
Leaving the stage, Midsummer Night's Dream. End of scene.